If you will this morning, turn to the book of 1 John. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 John. Oh, me. The book of 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 1. I don't know why, but the Lord, somebody back up here talking back to me this morning. My stomach is. But it's what the Lord just wanted me to preach on this morning, or try to, but I'm going to allow the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us this morning. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we just ask, Father, you'll be with us as a reading of thy word, Father, that may touch our hearts. And Father, bring back, Father, into our remembrance and what we've read and what we've studied. And Father, what we've seen. Lord, I pray, God, Father, that the Holy Spirit will just go right to the individual right now, Lord Jesus. And help each one of us today. Help us along with your word today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here in 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to really start reading with verse 1 down through 13. And what this is speaking about faith is the overcoming principle of the conflict that we have with the world. And it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that believeth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, and in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We see right here where this talking about faith is talking about the witness, is speaking about the three in one, is speaking about the Trinity, is speaking about the Word, speaking about the Holy Ghost, and is speaking about the Father. But in no less, we must need to look at what the three really and truly mean to us, and how truly that the all three can live with us, and we can have the evidence of it. Only way to heaven by heaven is with a know so salvation. A know so. Now, we can believe, we can hope, but that's all we can do. We can believe. We can believe what? In heaven. And we can have what? Hope in heaven. But we have got to have the know-so, salvation. We have got to know within our heart, within our soul, that we one day will meet the Savior there in heaven. Not just our Savior, but our loved ones. And you know, here lately I've been thinking about the loved ones. You know, the Scripture speaks about, and I can't find exactly where it speaks about it at, but we're going to know each other, but we're not going to know each other as we know you now. Why? Because we're going to be in a different body. We're going to be clothed differently. And we all are going to be at the same age. There's not no one going to be any older than I am. I'm not going to be any older than you are. We'll all be the same age. And that age is 33. We have Scripture that will teach us that, because Scripture tells us that when Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, he was at the age of what? 33. That was the last time. The last time that man had saw Jesus that was on the face of this earth. The last time. And he was 33 years old. When I don't believe we're going to be any older. Because we're going to be, what does the Bible say? We're going to be like unto what? The Son of God. The only difference that there will be between me and you And between us and him, is the scars that he has. You're not going to have the scars that's in your body like he's got. I'm not going to have the same scars that he has. And these bodies that we have, they cannot go as they are. This body of mine, as crippled and as feeble as it is, it cannot get into heaven. Why? Because it's sin. It's cursed by sin. See, the inward flesh is what is saved, not the outward flesh. I've heard people say, well, talking about the inward flesh, the Spirit of God lives within you. Yes, he does. They say, well, if he lives within me, and you telling me that the inward man is saved, what about the outer man? Can't the outer man be saved? Nope. Why? Because we have two different spirits. And we must try the different spirits. We can know the evidence and the change that is took upon each one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new man. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I was saved, the only thing that changed within me was my open heart. I had open heart surgery that day. God Almighty, he's the only one that can perform open heart surgery and can take out that stony, corrupt heart and put in a brand new heart and never leave a scar. You know what it is? Love. We first time experience love when we become to know the Savior. That's when I first realized that I was truly in love with my wife and in love my daughter. Because why? Because of the love that Jesus Christ put in my heart and my soul. And not only, it just didn't stop there. But the love that I had for the fellow man. That's what you call of a no-so salvation. That we can love the individual. And it's speaking about up here in where we just read a little while ago. Says in verse 10, says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Today, we have people on every corner. We have people that we come in contact with daily. Some of them, yes, are family members. Some of them are not. Some of them are friends. Some of them are co-workers. But they don't know the witness of God. They don't realize that they have been told, and they have been told, and they've been explained to what the Word of God says. And each and every time that they reject God, and each and every time that they do the things that they want to do, they say, they will say it within their own. They don't come out loud and say it to me and you. But they say, well, you know, I got other things better to do than to be faithful to church. I got other things to do than to go out and visit. I got other things to do. But did God had other things to do when He saved your soul? Yes, He did. But God still saw me as a sinner, lost, dying, going to hell. And He saved my soul. And I thank God today for that. I really do. I thank God every day that I can go to Him and I can talk to Him. Sometimes I don't feel like my prayers get no farther than right here. But even with that, I know that the Lord is still there. He's still listening. He still hears me. And sometimes the reason they don't get here and they don't go no farther than this is because of the way I prayed. Because I start praying for myself. I start saying, Lord, I need You to touch this body. Lord, I need You to help me. But I'm not supposed to pray that way. I'm supposed to pray in a way to where I'm always thinking about somebody else. I'm always thinking about somebody else that's not in church. And it hurts me, it bothers me to when people won't come to church. Now, if you really want to hurt me, if you really want to get down to my heart and really hurt me, stay out of church. That hurts me. I don't like to see people stay out of church. I want to come to church and have the same joy, the same feelings that I have. Why? Because I don't want them to miss out the blessings. I learned this a long time ago. And I learned it from a Sunday school teacher. And he told me, he says, if you ever miss church, remember there's a blessing you just missed. And there's a blessing that you can never receive. That blessing is gone. And he explained it to me this way. He says, Donnie, it'd be just like you going down the highway in the summertime where your windows roll down and you're going to stop. And you're going to get you some, maybe you're going to stop and go get you maybe a drink or something at a convenience mart or something like that. But, and you say, well, doggone it. Ain't no way in the world I can stop because I'm gonna be late. I gotta be. I'm gonna be late and everything. So I said, shoot, I gotta have something to drink. Here it is, my throat getting dry. My tongue is sticking to the top of my mouth. So I pull out my billfold. I pull out my billfold and I'll grab that dollar or $2 bill or $5 bill of what I've got and I'll grab it and I'll take it and I'll pull it out and everything.
and be going down the highway. Because I know eventually I'm going to get to that convenience mart and I'll pull into there and I can look down in my billfold. Where is it at? It was in there a few minutes ago. Oh no. I reckon I must have lost it. It flew out the window. I lost it. It flew out the window. It was on the highway somewhere. I don't know why. And I won't go, you know, if I go back, I got to get out and put my life in danger and have all of that. But I get back in my vehicle. I go on up the road. And I look. And I see where something's laying over here on the side of the highway. I go and pick it up. Somebody's wallet. I go across the highway and I go in and see if there's anybody in there by that name. And I say, did you lose a wallet? They look, they say, yeah. I said, well, him. Here it is. I said, was out there in the highway. Must have fell out of your pocketbook when you got out of the vehicle. But here it is. I says, just check it, make sure everything's there. I says, I promise I did not take one red penny. She looked at it, she said, everything's there, my driver's license there, all my credit cards are there. Yes, even my money's still there. I said, I sure am glad. So here I am, I'm about ready to turn around and go back out the door. And she stops me. She says, no, come back over here a minute. I go back over there. She hands me a $20 bill. You would automatically say, well, at least you got your money back. The money you lost. I didn't get it back. It's gone. Same way with the blessings. God has a specific blessing for each one of His children that shows up in the worship service to come and to receive the blessing. Now just think. Yeah, she gave me $20 because I found it for I picked up her wallet and I took it into the building and I asked anybody there. But before that, I lost everything I had in my pocket. Well, how much did you have? I don't know. I forgot how much was in there, so I don't know. See where I'm coming from? I didn't receive. Yes, maybe I had got $20 from her, and maybe I just lost $15 of my own money. I received a blessing on the $5 extra that I got out of 20. I didn't receive it on the first 15. Because that's already God's. That's already God's. And I know, and I don't even know why the Lord's even asked me to even use this message today, because to me, I know that each and every, I believe that I can honestly say within my own heart that each one of you are saved. Because you're faithful to the house of God. You're faithful to the Lord's work. You're faithful in being here and showing up here at the church. Not just on Sunday morning for Sunday school and preaching. And don't come back no other time. No. You hear Sunday morning Sunday schools, Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night for preaching, and Wednesday night for prayer meeting. You're here. You want to do God's work. You want to do what God has burdened each one of you down, because you experienced the same kind of love that I experienced. And we're seeing that right here in what we just read a little while ago, speaking about the love of God. And when you have the love of God, just remember, you have the love of the Father. Then you have the love of the Word, which is the Son of God. And then you have the love of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you got three loves there, and if you got all three of them living within you and living within your heart and your soul, you will love that individual. That will despitefully use you. I've had people to use me. I've had people to say things to me that I could not understand at the time. But some of the things that they said, I just didn't know where they got it from. I have to love them, but I don't have to fellowship with them. There's a difference. We must not go in where they're at just because they're there, but we're supposed to love them. Why? Because that's what God's Word says. God's Word says that's one of His commandments to us. That's the only commandment we have, is the two commandments that's in the New Testament. To love God the Father with all your heart and with all your soul. And you're supposed to love the fellow man. As your neighbor. Speaking of neighbors, we don't know who our next door neighbors are anymore. Whose fault is that? I says, well, it's my fault if I don't know my next door neighbor. It's my fault. It's not my neighbor's fault. It's not my fault. Or is it? We don't have the faith that we need. The faith that will overcome the things that we come in contact with daily. Faith
in knowing that we have the Father, in the faith that we have the Word, which is right here. And we need to be careful in the way we handle it. We need to be careful in the way that we go about laying it down. We need to be careful about and where we put it. We must always know where the Word of God is in our house. I have one room where I put mine at, and it's in my study on my desk. As soon as I go in the door, it goes right there on the corner of my desk. But bear record. What kind of record are we supposed to bear? We're supposed to bear the record of God the Father, which is in heaven. Because if it wasn't for God the Father, we wouldn't even be right here this morning. I haven't brought up His Son or the Holy Ghost, but if it wasn't for His Father, it wasn't for the Father that's in heaven, we would not be here. If it wasn't for the Father, I wouldn't ever got a chance to even know you. If it wasn't for the Father, you'd have never got a chance to know me. But we have the Word. The Word's right here. That's just like the same way. You imagine that there's a God in heaven. Have you ever seen Him? No. Never have seen Him. What does He look like? Never have seen Him. I don't know. How does he feel about you? Well, you know, I've never seen Him. I've never come in direct contact with where I could go up and I could shake His hand like I could somebody else's hand that I see now. But I know He's there. I know He's there. How do I know He's there? Because He lives within me. He lives within my heart. And not only that, He allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to leave heaven, come to a cruel earth, to where, yes, I should have died in His place. He should not have had to went through that. We should have went and took that place. We should have been there, but we wasn't. We wasn't there. Why wasn't we there? We wasn't there because He didn't want us to be there. He did not want us to be there. He did not want us to see what His Son experienced. He did not want us to be able to hear Him to agonize over the sin of this life. And then we have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, that indwells within us, that indwells within you, that teaches you, helps you along the way, and helps you to come and have fellowship with God.
If we didn't have God, if we didn't have the Father, and if we did not have the Son, if we did not have the Holy Ghost living within us, if we did, especially if we did not have the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, to live within our heart and our soul, we wouldn't be here. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be here. But see, it's the Holy Spirit that helps me in coming to church. Like last Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night, I missed the service. I wanted to be here, I really did, but I just couldn't make it. But see, the Lord knew that. The Lord knew my heart. The Lord knew that I wanted to be there. The Lord knew that what I was going through. But even with all that, going on within me, it didn't deter me about this and that. It didn't tell me to, you got to do this and you got to do that. No. It says, now you just got to get stronger so you can be back at church Wednesday night, so you can be back Sunday. And I thank you for the cards that I've got. And I thank you for this phone call. But there is something that I see within all of that. Within this, in the no-so salvation. And knowing that I'm going to heaven. And I know it within my heart and with my soul. But I don't have the faith. Like I need to. And I'm going to close with this. I had an individual call me this past week. I'm not going to call the name. But they've made more sense about faith than what I could ever imagine. And really and truthfully, I don't have the faith. Because if I had the faith, I know the Lord would have said something to me about, but see, I didn't have enough faith in the Lord to go and get it done. You know, it is what eight of us here this morning. And we've all have prayed. No doubt, probably some of us has agonized in prayer that God would send someone our way. But you know something? But we've never put that faith into practice. We haven't put it into practice. Because if we're to put that faith into practice, and me being the pastor here, I I should have had maybe some sense of it, but it wasn't to this, when this individual said something to me about it this past week, that for us to put God to the test, to where our faith will work, we need to start doing one thing. We need to go downstairs, start cleaning up downstairs. And you may say, well, preacher, we don't have nobody now to go downstairs. We don't have nobody to where they can go and get in that classroom. It may be because I have to go down now, or maybe one Sunday or something like that, God will bring a family in, and could bring a family of six people in. Well, they got four children. We could take the kids downstairs. But just think about this, though. When we take them downstairs, what is it going to look like? Because we don't know who's going to come in until that day. Right? When they go downstairs, yes. They may go in one of the classrooms and they'll have a musty smell down there. It's not fresh. It's not like it's been like an air freshener has been sprayed down there, and like a place that has never been used. We can use the sanctuary up here. Yes. And we can sense to where, while we're using the sanctuary, that like it's not being neglected. Because we're not neglecting the sanctuary, are we? Because we are here in the sanctuary. But what we are up against, and what we are trying to see happening, it's not going to happen until we put our faith into action, and that action has to be shown by who? Not by new people coming in, but by the people that's here and having the faith in the Lord Jesus. That if we just go downstairs, we don't have to go downstairs. We don't have to start at that end and go from that end and go all the way to the other end and straighten it all up and clean the floor, mop the floor, paint the wall. We ain't got to do all that in one day. Only thing we got to do, we can go down there one day. We can take a couple of hours and we can go down there. Spend a couple of hours downstairs. And you'll be surprised at how much we can get done. I want to see this church flourish. I want it to get back to where people can just open the door and just come on into church. And I'd love to see people get saved. I'd love to see people walk the aisles, come in here and hear the preaching of God's word, and then come down and ask God to save their soul. Just because I'm standing up here preaching does not mean that that's going to draw them down. Only thing that's going to draw them down is the Spirit of God. And I even know right now, and I have felt this morning, that may be the reason that I'm in the shape that I'm in. Because I haven't really done my part. You say, preacher, yes, you've done your part. You've done more than you need to be doing. Maybe so. But I don't feel like I feel like I've done nothing. I mean, I've been here, I don't know how long right now, but I don't want to go another year. Without somebody getting saved. I don't want to go another year without the baptistry being used. I don't want to go another year where this choir loft is not going to be used. I don't want to go through another year where the Sunday school's downstairs is not going to be used. And how many of you just soon to have the same people that we have, and no more, and you don't mind going from year to year? You don't mind going and not seeing the choir, having a choir up here? And you don't mind seeing where nobody's coming and getting saved, and the baptistry not being used? I don't even know where the steps are, if there even are any steps to get up in the baptistry. But I will promise you one thing. Somebody was to come and get saved, and then they want to follow the Lord in baptism, I will do everything I can to get up them steps. I may have to crawl up them. I don't want to go through another year like that. I don't want to go through another year not having nobody saved. Why? Because the highway and the hedges, even 58 right here, even the around us, can't nobody tell me that all the people are saved. They can't tell me that. So what do we need to do first? What do we need to do first? I believe, and I know it's, we're getting into winter time, and it's, I probably should have been thinking about this or something. We should have brought this up maybe first of summer. Which I don't know why the Lord even spoke to that individual about this time and didn't speak to him about it during the summer. But he told me this. They said, to have faith, you have got to put some action to your faith and what you believe in. And I'm not standing here this morning and saying that it cannot be done. Because if I say that, then over there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, then I don't believe in God. And I'm calling him a liar. I know God cannot lie and God will not lie. So we need to start thinking about it. And we may go more into detail Thursday night about that. I think we need to spend at least 2 hours down here a week. And just nothing but just cleaning up. Start in one room and straightening up and cleaning up. And yes, and if we have to, buy some paint and we have to freshen it up, we have to freshen it up. How many of you agree with me on that? If you agree, you'll raise your hand. Because that's the only way we're going to get people in to the house of the Lord is if we show our faith to God. We show our faith to God. I know what God can do. I've seen him do it before in the past. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Never changes. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's going to help us along the way. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just ask God that you just help each one of us, Father. Father, help us, Lord, that we may take in what you have given to this individual, Father. And Father, that we may be able to talk about it a little more, Father, this coming week. And Father, that we can set a time, Father, where we can gather here at the house of God. And Father, just spend a little time downstairs and just cleaning up and straightening up, Father. And letting you know, Lord Jesus, yes, we want to see the Sunday school rooms filled. We want to see the Sunday school, each one of the Sunday school rooms down there completely full. And we want to see more people coming in to the services, Father, to the preaching hour. And we know, Father, that people comes in. Father, that some people, Father, that will come to the altar, Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will draw them unto thee. And that they can confess that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And yes, they can trust you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.